You're listening to Play It Again, Swig. I'm Jocelyn Swigger, and I'm trying to learn all the Chopin etudes. I'm also trying to balance hanging out with my toddler, teaching full-time, and life's other distractions. This is my audio diary of that process. Well, it's Tuesday, June 10th, and I played a concert that I want to tell you about last Friday. The first thing I want to tell you is I had a first-time experience that was such a thrill, which is that somebody came up to me after the concert and congratulated me on the concert and said, I listened to your podcast and it was great to hear the pieces in person. And I've never, ever had that happen to me before. So that was completely great. And I'm so sorry that I don't remember the name of the person who said that. But if you're listening, thank you so much for making me feel like a rock star for a minute. That was just fabulous. That was great. Okay, so I needed to feel like a rock star about that concert, actually, because I was really tired. And I'll talk about why in a minute. But let me give you some sort of a breakdown of the postmortem. So first of all, I programmed way too much on this concert, which was my fault. This was a concert for the Pennsylvania Music Teachers Association Conference, so the state conference of basically the National Piano Teachers Organization. The organization isn't just piano teachers, but it's kind of mostly piano teachers. Anyway, we were hosting it here at Gettysburg College, which was great. And I was the site coordinator, so I wasn't organizing exactly what was on the conference, but I was dealing with a lot of the, you know, running around and putting up posters and helping figure out what the catering was going to do. So a lot of the event planning kind of stuff. So I have such an appreciation right now for event planners and for arts organizers who deal with all of this stuff on a regular basis, because, boy, that stuff can make my head explode. It's just so many details to keep track of and so many, you know, oh, I have to make sure that I call this person and I have to make sure that I find out about this and get this number to that person. And even though everything went very smoothly and all of the people who were doing much more of that than I was doing did a wonderful job, it still made my head feel like it was going to explode. So, yeah, wow, arts administrators, I don't know how people do that. Anyway, so I played Opus 10, and I'll tell you about that in a second. And then I also played a premiere of a piece that I think went quite well. I'd love to play you that recording, but I'm not going to because it has to go through, they do a competition where the composer has the chance to win the nationals. So we had to submit a recording with no information on it. So I just don't want my name out there with this sound, just in case nobody will listen, but just in case somebody were to hear it and put together that piece is by that composer. I don't want to do that to mess with that competition. So after that competition is over, maybe the piece will win, in which case I will certainly tell you about it. But if the piece doesn't win, I will give you that recording then, if I get permission from the other players and the composer. Anyway, so I think the premiere went very well, and that had taken quite a bit to put together. And then I also did the Mutinsky timepieces. I played you a pretty melody from that on the last podcast, which is quite a complicated but really, really, really cool piece for clarinet and piano. So are you noticing that there's a lot of hard music on this concert? I didn't do the thing where you program a couple of really playable, just toss them off pieces. In fact, there are a couple of clarinet cadenzas in the Mutinsky piece, which was towards the end of the program. And when we got to those clarinet cadenzas, I felt like, oh, thank goodness I get to just rest for a minute. which is not really how you want to feel on stage, right? Like you want to, that was not the best planning on my part. Anyway, I think actually that the premiere went really well. We did another new music piece that was written about 5 or 6 years ago that I think went very well. I think the Mutinsky went very well. A couple of the etudes went well. Actually, number one, which is this one, went well. Number two, this one, was the best I've ever played. It was easy. I mean, there were a couple of teeny little glitches, but mostly it felt like I could play it and think about it as a piece of music instead of playing it like it was climbing Mount Everest. So I was really thrilled about that. I think number three went well. And of course, I got a couple of comments that I play it faster than other people do. And I do play it faster than most other people do, but I also play it slower than Chopin's metronome marking. And I think I'm probably going to kind of stick with where I am, because a lot of people play it slower beautifully. And I kind of like my faster version. Anyway, I've talked about that at length before, so I am feeling more and more like, yes, that's where I am with that. And then number 12 went well. Went fine. So 4 out of 12 went great. But when I got into number 4, which is this one, I played not very much of it, maybe like half the first page, and then I had the deadliest thought, which was, wow, I'm really tired. And then number 4, number 5, number 6, number 7, number 8, number 9, number 10, number 11, I just kept thinking, I'm so tired, no, put your brain back in. I'm so tired, no, put your brain back in. I'm so tired, no, put your brain back in. And had all of these bizarro memory slips. I mean, obviously, they're not completely bizarro. They wouldn't have happened if I completely had my theory map in my grasp at that moment. So I need to revisit those. But places that I've never had trouble, I was just tired. And I ended up actually having to just make up the ends of a couple of the etudes, like just complete on the spot composition going on. Like I think the end of number 11, I think I ended up just ending, I think I actually got to the end that actually is, but I definitely did some improvisation in there. Number 10, I completely just had no clue how to, there were a couple of moments where I just couldn't find the chord that I needed, and I ended up just making up, I just made up a lot of stuff. I had one of my colleagues, a pianist who teaches at another, in another institution, gave me a really, I really appreciated it, a really nice compliment, which was, even when you made the mistakes, they were really clean, but, you know, that's not the kind of compliment you want the whole thing to be effortless and lovely and not problematic. Anyway, so I was too tired to play that much in that concert. And so I obviously I wish it had gone better. And I think there were some good moments, and I'm really thrilled with how 1 and 2 went. But this is going to be one of those. We have to chalk this up to learning experience, right? So a couple things about it. One is I haven't listened to the recording yet. And hopefully I will hear some good things in addition to the bad things. I think that in all of the etudes, even the etudes in which I had giant brain problems, I think I also had some good moments, you know, some nice music making. So haven't heard that yet, but I hope that that's true. And of course, it'd be nice for me to think of this concert as, oh, I made some nice music with some errors, not, oh, I made some errors with some nice music, right? Like we have to think about how we direct our thoughts about that. But I think the biggest lesson is I should not do too much. So I want to talk about that for a couple minutes. So for this conference, I was the on-site coordinator. I presented, just talking about some of the toys and props that I use in my teaching studio at 1 o'clock that day. I spent from 9 in the morning pretty much right up until 1 that day, running around putting up posters and texting and calling the conference services people every 5 seconds with little details and making sure that people knew where to go and greeting people and just running around doing event planning stuff. I played the concert on Friday night. I had a couple of my students play on Saturday. They did a great job. I was proud of them. I was doing all, I also was the secretary for the board meeting. So I had to take notes at the board meeting, the general meeting on Saturday and the board meeting on Sunday. Basically, I was doing all of these things, any one of which could have been pretty stressful, and I was doing all of them. And so, of course, the lesson is don't do 5,000 stressful things for one event. Now, I think that this particular convergence is not going to happen again for certainly for a long time. Next time I host this conference, which probably won't be for a few years, I'm not going to play such a hard program, she said now. But I really am not. So that's one piece. But I thought I would tell you about some of the other reasons that I was so tired. And this is just me not scheduling my life well, but you know, you schedule your life the way you can schedule your life. So this performance that I've just been telling you about was on Friday. On Wednesday, 2 days before, no, maybe I'm lying. Maybe it was Tuesday. Sorry, Tuesday, 3 days before. Still. I did my wonderful glamorous thing that I do about once a year, which is that I flew down to Florida for a lesson with my graduate school teacher, Rebecca Pennies, on all the etudes. And the lesson was wonderful. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. But what was not wonderful, and again, this is on me, not brilliant scheduling, was that I decided to fly down and back in 1 day so that my kid, who's almost 4 and is pretty mama-centric these days, wouldn't have to have, you know, more than a day without me. It's just a little bit hard right now to not be around him and for him not to be around me and for his poor dad, for him to not be around me. So I just figured it would be better to do it down in 1 day and back in 1 day. Now, of course, what that meant is that the airport shuttle came to pick me up at 4:45 in the morning. And then my flight was delayed coming back. So I didn't get back home until 2 in the morning. And of course, knowing that I was going to be picked up at 4:45 in the morning, I absolutely could not sleep the night before. So I kind of pulled an all-nighter, just, you know, not getting anything effective done, but just sort of lying there and twitching. So I had this all-nighter. I was totally exhausted. Went down, had this intense lesson that was a wonderful experience. Came back, was exhausted. Got back, was exhausted. And so I kind of was on a sleep deficit, and I wasn't able to catch up on the Wednesday or Thursday because I had so much event planning and had to rehearse and practice for these, the premiere and the other pieces. So I was really, I was on a sleep deficit, and I was able to take a nap on Friday afternoon because I ducked out of the conference, but I was tired, like just actually physically tired. And I think there's a real lesson for me there about how I have to take care of myself if I want to perform at a high level. And I know that's such an obvious thing, and I tell my students all the time, all the time. I'm constantly telling my students, you must get enough sleep or you're not going to be able to do this. Like, you just have to. And there's all this science about it. I mean, it's such an obvious thing that I have to get enough sleep, and I just did not get enough sleep. So, lessons learned, got to get enough sleep. I knew that, but I just didn't get enough. And then the other thing that I think hurt me for Friday's performance and certainly hurt me with my huge lack of focus where I kept having all those memory slips is I didn't do my meditation on Friday just because I didn't feel like I had the time. I didn't have the half hour or so to or 25 minutes to put that in there. And I could have taken some of my nap time for that and probably should have, but I really felt like I needed a nap. And I've talked some about my meditation practice here, but I think it's becoming really necessary. Like, I think it's becoming kind of central to how I do everything else that I do. So another lesson learned, gotta meditate on the day of a performance. Anyway, that is lots of lessons learned, lots to think about from that Friday performance. I think overall the conference went well, and I got to meet some terrific people, and it was wonderful to have all those piano teachers on my campus, which is, I have to say, quite a beautiful campus, and it was really nice to show it off. So I think overall it was actually, I think it was good. I think that I don't think I embarrassed myself. I really don't think so. But I didn't perform at the high level that I would like to perform consistently at. Which brings me to talking about the actual lesson that I had when I flew down to Florida. So, basically, the big picture is that I've made huge improvements and that I'm really on the way to being able to play these pieces. So, of course, that's nice to hear. But that there's lots of mud. And the funny thing about the mud is that it's exactly the mud that I've had for years, which is that when I get tired or when I lose focus is a better way to say that. When I lose focus, my articulation goes, especially in the left hand. And it's almost like the finger strength goes, even though sort of flexibility and sensitivity is more what I'm interested in than strength. But so, for example, this. So this. That was number 4 in Opus 10, by the way. If I'm not really focused and on, this totally turns into this. Do you hear that? How that's kind of muddy, and I'm not lifting up my fingers enough instead of this. Ugh. Ah. And of course, the real problem, and it goes exactly with the lack of focus, is that I don't always hear when my fingers get lazy. So. So I don't actually trust right now that I'm hearing it all the time. Anyway, the suggestion that she made that I have to say I was really not happy about, but I did it for about 15 minutes this morning, and I think it's actually going to be really good and I'm going to enjoy it, was that I should work on Hannon a little bit. You know Hannon. And I think you can maybe hear that there's even a little bit of mud, especially in the left hand there. And I can do it backwards. I'm not backwards, in contrary motion. Anyway, I'm certainly not going to make you listen to me play a bunch of Hannon. But I think that that's going to be a good way of making sure that I really hear when the mud is in there, because there's nothing else to listen for in the Hannon. I mean, there's no, you know, there's really not much music happening. So if I can sharpen up my ears and hone my fingers, I think that's going to be good. So I'm going to do that. And she also said, and you know, we talked about it, I actually asked, I said, well, would it be a good idea to do scales too? And she said, never hurts. So I'm going to be doing scales and Hannon. I'm not going to make you listen to them because God knows they're boring, but I will do a scale a week. So this week I'm going to do A. So I'll do major. I said I wasn't going to make you listen to them, but I'll just, while I'm telling you. And minor. And I'll do arpeggios in contrary. Oh, God. Motion. Let's see. And I'll do them in different. Both are too slow, but I will work on them. And I'll just do that whole thing. And maybe I'll play that through for you next week, or maybe I won't. But I'll tell you about whether I worked on it. I don't mean next week, by the way. I'm doing this podcast every 2 weeks in the summer. Probably every 2 weeks forever, actually, just to have time to do other things in my life. Okay, so I got to get the mud out of my playing, and I will. Let me tell you about a couple of specific things for the etudes. I haven't actually gone through and looked at her written comments for all of them yet, just because I knew I'd had the Friday concert and then the conference of the weekend and all that. I have a plan for 25 number 10, which is the octaves, which is to really go through and figure out where I can use 5-4, meaning the pinky and the ring finger. The pinky is 5 and the ring finger is 4, instead of just 5-5-5-5 all the time. So that I can group the gestures into fewer hand positions. So I'm pretty excited about that, actually, because I feel like now I have a strategy to learn that piece that I can do, instead of just feeling like, oh my gosh, this is still impossible and I don't know how to do it. So I'm going to work on that. I'll report back to you next time about how that's going. In Opus 10, my biggest thing that I have to really figure out is the timing of number 11. Because I don't have the melody on the beat. So I have to figure that out. I'm going to do a little bit of work on that today for sure. So let me tell you about what my plan is for the next couple of weeks with etudes and everything. This week I'm playing three retirement home concerts. Originally I was going to try and play Opus 25 on them, but that is just not going to happen, and I now feel like I was insane to think I'd be ready to do that. So I'm going to play Opus 10 on these three concerts, which I think will be good to kind of get Opus 10 back on track after the Friday performance. I played through it this morning and was able to take care of all the memory places. So, well, no, there's one spot I need to look at in 10, number 10, this one. But I will. So I'll look at that before I do the concert. But anyway, they're retirement homes. They're low pressure. It'll be just a chance for me to play Opus 10 and feel like it's comfortable. But I'm going to be practicing in the mornings on Opus 25. And then next week, I have no concerts during the week, and then I'm playing Opus 10 on Friday. So I'll do little bits of Opus 10 and then mostly practice Opus 25 next week. And then on Friday, I'm going to actually treat it like a real concert day where I sleep in and I, you know, practice slowly, and then I meditate and I take a nap and I focus, and then I play a really good concert instead of running and running and running and running like the hamster in the wheel. So my next podcast for you is going to be Tuesday the 24th. And here's what I'm telling you I'm going to do. I'm going to report to you about my Hannon and my scales, although I won't make you listen to much of it, I promise. But I will play from memory Opus 25, 7 through 10. So that'll be the cello. Well, I won't tell you what they are. No, I will. The cello etude, this one. And the sixths, which I can't say, but hopefully we'll be able to play. And the octave with chords, I don't know what to call it. The butterfly. And that's number 9. Oh, and number 10, which is the octaves. So I'm going to play those for you from memory for sure on the next podcast. I may also have number 11 and number 12. Number 11 is, I'm certainly going to be practicing this a lot. Ugh, speaking of mud. And then 12 is that one, which is not that hard. I just have to practice it, which is what I've been saying for like 2 years. So I probably should actually do it. Anyway, definitely 25, 7 through 10 for next time. I promise, I promise. And that is it. So you can find out more about this project at playedagainstmic.com. You can get regular updates by liking my Facebook page, Played Against Swig. You can follow me on Twitter at Jocelyn Swigger. And thank you so much for being my practice buddy.